had some good times and really enjoyed it and still do. When we do it, we just don't do it very long. Always enjoyed winning, and I like that best in things. And when you won, and we had some good times up, Brother Broughton and them up there in Somerset area, and played some good ball teams. And I never will forget, my strategy was win, by the way. And we took Nathan after a while. We lived so far and we couldn't bring him back and forth over here. We took him down to Crittenden County. Coach Darren said, "I want to teach you boys how to be good losers." Nathan said, No, he ain't what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to teach us how to be winners, you know. And we are. Now, I'm not going to take much time this afternoon. I'll let some of these older preachers preach after a while. Did y'all get that? Brother Melvin and them, yeah, my elders. But the Lord has been good to us, and we thank God for it and things. And we've been pastor now close to 50 years. I don't know the exact date I preached my first sermon. I remember where it was at and what I preached on, but I don't remember the date that we did it and everything. I know the first time we ever preached, it scared me to death. The Lord, he opened the door. There was no doubt about that. I surrendered to preach probably 3 months before that and hadn't preached at all anywhere. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand, and a lot of times we don't for a while. But I prayed one night, and I said, "Lord," I said, "if you really want me to preach, you're going to have to do something. I don't know what else to do." The next morning, 7 o'clock or so, a church from Princeton, Kentucky, called us to come over and preach. And I'd never been in the church, didn't know anybody there. But the Lord, I somewhere or another, got a hold of me and them and put us together. But the funny thing was, though, I knew before I ever went and preached, they would call me to be their pastor. And never preached, but I knew they would. And I never said anything to Linda about it, but she knew they would too. So we went in that morning and we preached the best we could and preached out of Joshua 24:15. As far as me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And we got through preaching, and this one man that was kind of in charge, he raised up and he said, "Folks, we've been praying the Lord send us a pastor ever since Brother Cunningham died." And he said, "I don't know about y'all, but I believe he has." He said, "We'll vote on him next Sunday if that's okay with the church." Scared me to death. And I did not take it either. And then really to scare me worse than that, he looked around and said, "I believe these folks will come back tonight if you'll come back and preach tonight." But I didn't have but one sermon, you know. But we came back, and the Lord gave us another one before that night, and we had a good time. But I'm not going to preach very long, I promise you that. But I want you to just open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Revelation for a minute in chapter 4. Chapter 4 in the book of Revelation. The Lord gave us this message or something similar to it back some time back, and we've only used it maybe one time. And if you get something out of tonight, I hope you can. Revelation chapter 4. Now, let me say this before we read. We're going to read in verse 1. You know, in the book of Revelation, y'all know more about it probably than I do. But we know that John wrote about things which was, and which is, and which is to come. Now, if I read my Bible right, in chapter 1 is what was. In chapter 2 and chapter 3 is what is, and that's the church. You get in chapter 4, you're looking at what's going to be, okay? Looking at the future, the past, the present, and the future. I said one time, you know, when we go back and we begin to do the things we do, most of us have no trouble with the past. I can read my Bible. I don't have any trouble believing Daniel was in the lion's den or the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace. Don't have any problem believing Jesus died and rose again and one day will come back and rapture us out of this old world that we're in today. But where I have my problem at is today. Today. Can God do anything for me today? Now I want you to look with me, if you will, in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. He said, "After this." Now I want to stop right there. After this. Let's bow our heads and let's go with the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for Jesus, and Lord, we thank you for every blessing that you've given us. We pray today that, Lord, you'd use us for a few minutes. We just want to be a blessing and a help. Lord, if you would, Lord, we'd certainly appreciate it, and I know that folks would as well. Give us what we need today to share here today. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. I got to thinking about this when the Lord gave us this message and things. Everything that we did, there was always something that came after that. No matter what kind of a good time you had, there was always something that happened after that. When you had bad times, and I mean bad times, and all, something happened after that. If you go back in your Bible and you begin to look back in your Bible a little bit, and we read about the children of Israel going down into Egypt, and they had a good time for a long time. It was a good time. They had the best of the land, and God blessed them, and they multiplied, and just had a good time, you know. But after this came a bad time. But then after this came a good time. They were delivered out of there. And then after this came another bad time. We may got down to the Red Sea. But they went across on dry ground and had a good time. And after this, they get over into the promised land. Lo and behold, they find bitter water. And after this, he makes the water sweet. And if you see, our life goes in a cycle like that. We have bad times and we have good times. But if you look back, in most of our good times, somewhere or other, Jesus has been there. You think on that just a minute. I look back at my life, and I can go back and for a long, long time. I can remember when I was a little boy. I can remember a lot of things that we did when we were just a little boy. Had some good times. There were 10 of us children, 9 boys, and 1 girl in my family. And I can look back and I can say, boy, we had some good times. My daddy and mama didn't have any money. I mean, daddy was a coal miner. We spent everything we had before we really ever got it. Just never did have what we really probably needed to survive, but God always took care. Always took care. We sat down to the table every day, never went to bed hungry at night. My daddy never came in and beat me and whipped me and all those things like that. God was good to me where he put me at, and I say we had some good times. After this, you know what I mean, then you grow a little bit and you become a teenager and a young man, and then the Lord allowed us to get into school and learn a few things, and then we got to playing basketball, and we enjoyed that, and well, things went good for a long time. But then life goes like that. I want to look at John today, and I want to show you what we can about him. I look back at John today as he's getting ready here and writing this book of Revelation. God's already showed him some things that was, if you remember chapter 1, as I said a while ago. He showed him many things that was. Jesus said, you know, there in chapter 1, I believe it is, in verse number 8, if you care to turn back there with me just a minute, and let's read that verse if we can. Verse 8, I think it is. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So we're looking back now. We're looking at Jesus beforehand. But John meets this Jesus. He has a meeting with him, and you know the story when the Lord saved John and took him out of the world and set him on that solid rock and established his going, and John was with him on numerous occasions. He was with him at the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus in his glory. I mean, he saw the Lord standing there clothed in the brightness of his glory all around him. He saw him. He was with him the day they went back in Jairus' bedroom where the little girl was, and Jesus took her by the hand and said, "Maid, arise." John was right there in the very presence of the Son of God. I mean, he saw and was with him. He was there the day they raised Lazarus from the tomb. I mean, he was there all the time with Jesus. But now then, things have changed. John's changed. Age has got a hold of him. John's an old man now. He's not the young man that once was the fire young preacher. He's the old man. I never will forget a message Brother Broughton preached over what he's going to tell John. Of course, that's a different John. He was talking about that night. But, you know what I mean? This man has so changed now. Things have changed. Things have really changed. John has spent his ministry serving God, being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave all that he could give to God. From the time he got saved, John gave it all. If you remember, he was the apostle that nuzzled up to the Lord that night and in the upper room. Hey, he stayed close to the Lord in his ministry. Now, Jesus, of course, has been crucified, and he's gone. Where's he gone? He's seated at the right hand of God, by the way. But now, look here just a minute, if you will. John's not only an old man, John's a prisoner. John is on an isolated island called Patmos. No friends. I mean, no visible friends that you can see there. Not a one in his latter days. Here he is on that isle called Patmos out there in those salt mines. And thanks for his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want him telling people about Jesus. And so they isolated him and put him out there to keep him from being the witness that he would be if he stayed on the other side. But now then, John's not only a prisoner, but out there on the island, he's just had a meeting with Jesus. Go back and look in chapter 1 and 2. You'll find where the Lord came and spoke with him and laid out some things to him. And John had a relationship with the Lord. May not have had any other friends there, but I believe my Bible said somewhere there that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I believe even down in the Isle of Patmos, he had a friend there by the name of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus came down and visited with John right there. John looks back now. He looks back, and he looks back at all the good times, and he looks back at all the bad times. And he said, after this, I saw opening. Let me show you something today. Most of you guys is like me. You're over the hill. You can forget it. I mean, you're a lot of things you can completely forget today. You're not going to be a basketball star. Brother Bob played basketball. Bob, forget that. You ain't going to play no more. Like me, you probably can't stand up long enough to play. Everything in your body's wore out. You ain't got your teeth no more. They're store-bought. Amen on me. I mean, your legs don't work right. You don't have any balance in them. You don't have any strength in them. Your arms don't work right. Your muscles done changed places and went down here instead of up here. Well, y'all know what I'm talking about. You have trouble putting your breeches on in the morning, not so much with the first leg, but that second leg's a doozy, you know what I mean? Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let me say something to you here. After this, John got a little glimpse of heaven. I can remember a day when I went to church and the Lord got on my case. And I mean, he brought me down with conviction like I'd never known in my life. God smote my heart. I was lost and undone and going to the devil's hell. And I was about as low as I could go. But after this, he washed all my sins away. Made me fit to be a child of God. Changed me from a sinner to a saint in just a moment's time. When I bowed my head and my heart to the Lord, God made a change after this. But let me say something else to you. It's not been a bed of roses all the time. It's not been. Yesterday, I went to Dr. Capadia. No, it's Tuesday I went to Dr. Capadia. He checked my heart. By the way, here a while back, they had to put a stent in there. He said, I think you're doing pretty good, but said, you may need a pacemaker. And I said under my breath, after the fight, we're going to fight over that one, amen? Because I ain't getting no pacemaker if I don't have to. I'm doing good, you know, as far as that's concerned. But after this, listen, as long as this thing's working, it's keeping me out of heaven. Amen. As long as yours is working, you ain't going to go home as long as it's working. But one of these days, thanks be unto God, it'll quit working and we'll go home. After this, God not only saved me, but God called me to preach the Word of God and has given me the ability to do that for almost 50 years. I've got nothing to look back and say God's not been good to me. If He never blessed me again, He's blessed me with a wife and 6 kids and a good family, and God's been good to me all the days of my life, and after this it's going to get better. After this, you know, they ask you, do you want to donate your body parts when you go? I said, foot don't want mine, they're all wore out. Be a fool, he wanted mine, amen. He wants my teeth, he can get them anytime he wants them, you know what I mean? But rest of them, may have to come a little later. Nevertheless, I read in the Bible that when John looked there, he saw opening in heaven. And a voice that said, come up hither. Think about the rapture just a minute. What was it Paul said? He said, you don't have sorrows, other sorrow with no hope. But he said, the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. Hey, after this is going to come that time when that opens. Now notice something here, if you will. This is before the tribulation begins. By the way, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe in a premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't want to believe that, you'd be wrong, okay? That's your privilege, okay? But I'm a premillennialist, I'm a pre-tribulation believer. I believe that Jesus will come before the tribulation comes to carry His bride out of here, and I believe we're it, amen? Now watch with me. When He gets to heaven, look what He sees. We talk about what we're going to do when we get to heaven. And every once in a while, I'll search my mind. What do you think you're going to do when you get to heaven? I've got an old papa up there some of these days, and we're going to see him. And some we're going to kick up gold dust for a while. I mean, I've got a daddy and mama up there. Got some babies up there. Got a little granddaughter up there. Only saw her one time. Never held her until after she was dead. Died just shortly after she was born. But, hey, one of these days, thank God, we're going to a place after this. No more sickness. No more disease. No more sorrow. No more weeping. No more crying. Hey, no more cemeteries. No more hospitals. After this. After this. No more crutches. No more to have nothing to prop your feet up with, Jay. You leave that down here if you don't mind, okay? I may need to sit on it for a while, you know what I mean, or something. But nevertheless, after this, God said He'd give me a brand new body. You mean I can have that body? I can be saved? I got to think about that one day, you know. I can. What's Philippians 4:13 say? Doesn't it say I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me? I believe that's what it says. Y'all remember one night the apostles was out in a boat and the storm came. And they looked and lo and behold, here came Jesus walking on the waves. They were in the midst of the storm. The waves was beating on them. I mean, something fierce. But here comes Jesus walking on the waves. You remember one fella in the boat said, Lord, bid me come to thee. Jesus said, come on. Science says you can't do that. I mean, nature says you can't do that. The other 11 in the boat said you can't do that. The world said you can't do that. Well, Peter said, bless God, I can. He said I could. And I can do it. If He said I could, I can do it. Amen, I can do it. I used to argue with God before God called me to preach and everything. He was calling me. I wasn't listening. I said, I can't. He said, you can. I said, I can't. He said, you can, you can, you can. God never says, I can't. Get that down some of these days. That old body you're going to have, God's going to give you a brand new one. Might give Melvin one with hair on it. Who knows? He was laughing about my hair a while ago, and I said, you have to live right to have a head of hair like mine. Listen, after this, he saw Jesus. One night, and I'll tell you the story, and then I'm going to hush. One night after we'd gone to sleep, and we had a dream. And I dreamed something. Now, this was before I even knew this was in the Word of God. But I dreamed that I was out somewhere, me and somebody. I don't know who the other person was. But the heavens opened. And the most beautiful light I'd ever seen in my life shined down from that opening. And we was caught up into that opening. And we went into this place. Most beautiful place I'd ever been in all of my life. I'd never seen anything like it before. Never, ever had I ever seen anything like that. And I asked the person with me, and I don't know who it was, never did find that out. I said, where are we? And this is what he said. He said, this is where the marriage supper will be. If it's anything like my dream, it's going to be more than you could ever imagine. I woke up. My soul, I'd have gave my right arm to get back in that dream again. I tried to go to sleep. I tried to get back in, but I couldn't get back. You know what I mean? Things that was over and gone. But it's just a little picture. Just a little picture of one day. I believe this is what's going to happen when we get to heaven. We're going to do just like that song says. We're going to hit our knees and cry, holy. Holy. I believe every one of us will do that after this. After this thing wears the rest of the way out. After God gets through with me down here. After it's all finished. After this, I'm going home. They may take the body to the funeral home and probably will, but I ain't going. I ain't planning on a trip to the funeral home, y'all. What did he say? Didn't he say something like, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? After this. Yeah, that's what's coming. I'm not planning on going to cemetery neither. I told folks here, well, like I was preaching a funeral. I said, if you want to see her again, I said, you ain't going to, don't look in the cemetery because she ain't going to be there. She's a saint of God. I mean, listen, I said, don't go to the cemetery looking for her. Don't go down there to pay tribute to her. That's not where she is. She's home. She's home. Hey, that cemetery is just a place where we left them at maybe or something. I don't know how you phrase that, but anyway, after this, I'm going home. And I'm going to be better than I ever was at any time in all my life. Until then, like that song said, he's still working on me. I say that's a kid song. Honey, let me tell you something. It may be a kid song, but he's still doing a number on me. I think all of us need him to keep on working, don't you? Amen. Just keep on, Lord, just keep on. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for a hope after this. When I look at the world today and how messed up it is, I realize, Lord, there's something after this. When I see what's going on in our nation and across the United States of America, across the world, it scares me to death, but then I know, Lord, there's something more after this. We're looking for you, Lord. We're waiting for you to sound that trump, call our name, take us out of this place, and take us home. Thank you, Lord, all that you do for us and have done, going to continue to do. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.